Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, earbuds. It is I, Hannah Hart, here to tell you some things right off the bat because, wow, today has been crazy. Look, we're going to get into it in more detail, but first and foremost, our beautiful, wonderful, beloved Hannah Gelb is not here with me today because she's literally at this moment in the hospital. More on that in a second, but there's not all bad news. Oh, yeah, there is more bad news, actually. Sorry about that. The Pomona show has been canceled because we didn't sell enough tickets. So we're very, very sorry to all of the Pomona babies. I, however, am very much preoccupied with Hannah Gelb. Oh, God, it's so hard to record when you're so worried about your best friend. Anyway, Pomona show for Hanalyze This Live has been canceled, but we strongly encourage those of you who did buy tickets to use your refund and come on down to the San Diego show because that is still a go. Either way, though, you'll be getting a free sign poster from both the Hannahs as long as there's still a second Hannah. Oh, God. It's okay. Okay. Well, let's get into the episode. We'll get into the episode in a second. I'm going to be joined by the one, the only, Ella Mielnischenko, and it's going to be a great time. So, you know, just think good thoughts. Okay, Hannah, compose yourself. I'd also like to remind you guys that there will, fingers crossed, knock on wood, also be two Hannahs in San Francisco. So if you guys want to come and give us hugs and let us know you're so happy we're still here, please go to HannahLizeThisLive.com and buy your tickets for San Francisco or San Diego today. San Francisco will be on September 21st and San Diego will be on September 23rd. Okay, let's get into the episode. It'll be a very interesting episode. Today, we're going to be talking all about bisexuality with the one and only Ella Mielnischenko. So, okay, let's just play those sweet, sweet bars. Hi, honey.
Wow. What a time to guest.
What a time to be.
I've always wanted to be on this podcast, and wow.
And now we're making.
This is it. This is my moment.
Ella was not originally scheduled to appear on the podcast this week, but we did drive down to celebrate Hannah Gelb's 33rd birthday. Initially, we were going to record an episode about 33 and the number and numerology and a lot of really fun stuff, but oh, God. I mean, we should just tell them what happened.
I hate to be second best, but she was
what?
Very ill.
Oh, yes. She was.
She is very ill.
It was crazy, guys. So we came down. I'll let you guys know. And thank you to everyone who's tweeting out their love and responses via the Twitter to Hannah Hizzle Gizzle right now. But basically, you know, we drove down from L.A. to San Diego. Everything was great. We had a really nice dinner, you know.
And then it took a turn.
And then it took a turn. We wrapped up the evening pretty early and headed back before midnight. And then Hannah got a little sick, and it was like, oh, and everyone was kind of like, oh, well, maybe ate something weird.
Yeah. Just, you know, rest.
Rest.
Throw up if you can.
Oh.
Oh, did she?
All
night.
All night long. Hannah was throwing up literally every 10 minutes from midnight to 7 a.m.
It was the most I've been around or heard.
Yeah. It's the most I've ever heard someone vomit in succession.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, so we were sleeping on the couches, and finally, just kind of like around 5, I told Hannah, I was like, you know, giving her sips of water, and I was like, if you can't keep this down, we're going to the hospital, you know?
Yeah, I think you got to get rehydrated.
Well, you have a lot of experience with dehydration.
I get dehydrated very easily. So I know right away now if I start throwing up, like if I have stomach flu or the flu, I know that I need to go get an IV immediately.
Oh, my God.
So I was just really pro getting some doctor to see her.
Yeah. Oh, God. So anyway, long story short, Hannah is in the care of the doctors right now. But not when you listen to this podcast. Hopefully you'll know everything that happened. So I drove to the hospital. Doctors are seeing her. We still don't know quite what has happened yet, but we will, I'm sure, have updated you by then with the knowledge. Man, it's just, it's the not knowing, you know?
It's true.
And
it's true.
It's there's so much that we wish we knew for sure in this life.
There's a lot you can research on WebMD, let me tell you what.
Let me tell you what. Ella, what is your primary concern right now?
I don't even want. Just don't want to go on rec. Well, here's the deal. I'm one of those people that when I see someone else sick, then I start to also feel sick. Like, my knees get really weak. I'm a pretty squeamish person. So being around that much vomiting, it's really made me question if I, in fact, also need to vomit. And I still don't know the answer to that. Like, I feel weird, but I think I'm just scared.
Yeah.
And so now I'm wondering if I also have some horrible disease.
Wow. Well, I mean, I would say probably not by virtue of the fact that you didn't puke all night.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Oh, my God. it was very funny because I could tell from the second that I saw Ella when she came to pick me up 40 minutes ago at the hospital. I was like, wait a minute. Are you scared for you right now?
What can I say? I'm a selfish... Well, I can't curse, can I?
Wait, why not? We have an explicit rating.
I'm a selfish... I can't say it. My tongue's getting tied. What can I say? I'm a selfish bitch. I just really am worried that it was some kind of like outbreak.
She's worried. Yeah, either this
zombies. Who knows, guys?
This is like, because this is how it is, man. They always take out like the charming, fun, funny, lighthearted, like lovely fairy characters, you know, and that's who Hannah is.
Yeah.
And we had just given her her birthday cards.
We did.
And I wrote, in the card I gave her, I wrote, so long as I have you in my life will be blessed.
That's still true. This is going... I wrote, this is going to be your best year ever, so I don't think I should make proclamations anymore.
Yeah, well, maybe we're off to a bang. Maybe it's catharsis, right? This episode of Analyze This is really mainly about illness. No, it's really not.
I mean, I've watched a lot of House MD.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've watched a lot of SVU. Grey's Anatomy.
Recently, we thought Ella had mouth cancer. But yeah. Completely yeah. Convinced.
Oh, yeah. I was already writing my will. Well, I probably should have done that already.
Yeah. What made you think you had
mouth cancer? I had a bump in my mouth. And so, yeah, all signs pointed to mouth cancer. I seriously emailed my dentist photos of the inside of my mouth.
Yeah, I know.
And they said I was okay.
Yeah.
So, dodged that bullet.
They actually said wait 3 weeks, and if it hasn't gone away, then come in. And then...
it did go away.
Next couple days, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just it was a scary moment. But, like, you know, life is full of scary moments.
It's true.
And there's so much linked to the uncertain.
I mean, you know what? The internet, WebMD... What? Why do we have that information? Why?
I think it's good, though, because I will say that the second round of blood work was because I was a nosy person. And then the second round of blood work is where they found what she's still at the hospital figuring out right now. That all sounds very vague. Look, once Hannah is right as rain, we will give you guys full disclosure about everything. But I hate to be talking about illness so much in this particular episode, because we are here to talk about something that's absolutely not an illness.
Oh my God, what a segue.
I've been trying to pivot.
What a segue.
I've been trying to pivot. I was like, uncertainty. I want to link to like certainty.
I didn't know you were trying to find a
segue moment?
No, I didn't.
I've been scrambling.
I don't know how this works.
I've been looking for my segue this whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's a segue. Ready?
Go. No.
That's a segue sound. It's a little motorized chair?
Niche joke.
I think everyone knows what a segue is. Is it a chair? Is it a stool? Hey, maybe it's both. Speaking of both, let's talk about bisexuality.
Wow. Yeah.
We got there.
She pulled it off.
Thank you. Yes. For those of you who might not already be well aware of this fact, Ella Mielnichenko, the woman sitting across from me right now, worrying if she has some sort of liver-based illness, is both my fiancé and a bisexual.
Yes, yes.
Although I would say that we both believe in queerness these days. We're like kind of moving away from the spectrum, but I think it's important to talk about the experience that you've had because culturally, I don't know if we as a nation are moving away from the spectrum.
Yeah. You know, the more I learn, the more I don't understand / don't know how to identify.
And by spectrum, I actually meant binary.
Oh.
Yeah. We're moving towards the spectrum away from the binary.
Right. Yeah. Binary being me.
Binary being two.
Dos.
Binary. So we're using a lot of LGBTQIA-based terminology. Let me do a quick word recap for everybody here.
Please. And I need to learn as well.
And then I'm going to ask you some probing questions, babe.
Okay.
And then we're going to take you to the eye doctor.
I'm on the hot seat?
Yeah, you're on the hot seat.
The eye doctor? Why?
Oh, I was just trying to slip that in.
No. I don't want to go.
Ella hasn't been to the eye doctor in 10 years.
You're making me sound so, so...
I'm stating the facts.
Oh, man. I need to reevaluate things.
Wait, these things?
No, about my own fears.
Yeah, I know, honey. We got to take
it. I am afraid of the eye doctor. Wow. I want to just put on the record that I'm pretty stable. I'm like pretty fine. This kind of stuff doesn't come up that often. It's really only like... couple times a year.
Yeah.
So I want to just lay that down.
Yeah, it's true. We'll go to the eye doctor this year. I've been easing her into it. I took her to my appointment.
I was like, they're crooks. What do they know? How do they know?
It was a very interesting reaction to being inside an optometrist's office.
It made me angry.
I know.
It's only because I did faint, but that's another story at another time.
Yeah, Ella faints a lot. I think we could actually just talk this whole podcast about your fears, but we're really trying to talk about bisexuality. But if Ella sees a needle, she will faint. Yeah.
Or one of those eye checker things.
You're just susceptible. Like if I was like, God, wait, does my ear hurt? You'd be like, does my ear hurt? One time, Ella told me not to touch her glands because she was like, that makes me get sick.
It does, though. It does. I don't want them touched. They're fine.
They're fine.
They're fine. They don't need to be disturbed.
They're fine. They are in good shape. But yes. Okay. Sorry. I distracted myself. But here's the terminology that I just kind of want to just kind of throw out there. So for those of you who are or are not members of the LGBTQIA community, you are probably familiar with the acronym LGBT. I personally believe that we should move towards just using the word queer because straight people have one word and that word is like straight. You know, they're like, oh, I'm straight. But people in the LGBTQIA blah, blah, blah community have all these identifiers they have to say, you know? And I'm like, I really think we should all just say queer. So that way you could take away a lot of the pressure of being like, is it bi? Is it pan? Is it ace? Like, what am I? So that was my soapbox moment. Thank you so much for listening. And now we're going to talk about something besides my own thoughts and opinions. We're going to get to know Ella and your journey with your sexuality.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right after this. Everybody, I want to do something a little bit different with this sponsor spot, and that is to talk about you. Talk about what you like about these products, maybe, ? Has anybody actually tried Tomboy X since we started talking about it? Because I love Tomboy X. I literally wear those underpants all the time. The bikini briefs, the boxer briefs, the trunks, the boy shorts. They can even double as just like legging shorts under a too short dress. I mean, there's a lot of options. No, I don't wear dresses, but if you did, you could go for it. Also, the bras are very comfortable, and if you are a more full-figured, breasted person, very supportive. Great to work out in. Really, truly. So guys, if you like Tomboy X, will you let us know at Hanalyze Pod? Just say, hey, I tried it and I like it. I would love to know that. You don't need to tag them or anything. I'm just genuinely curious. And if you haven't tried Tomboy X yet, well, you can go ahead and head to tomboyx.com/Hanalyze and check out their special bundles and, you guessed it, pack pricing. Plus, our Hanalyze This earbuds get an extra 15% off with the code Hanalyze. Again, code Hanalyze for an extra 15% off. So ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/Hanalyze. Wow, I'll never get tired of saying that. And hopefully, Tomboy X will never get tired of sponsoring this podcast. Now, back to the show.
How's going?
How's it going so far?
Yeah, how's it going? Any notes?
Oh, I got, yeah.
Feedback for me?
Feedback for you? You're doing great. Okay. Feedback from this side of the room is just keep doing what you're doing.
Feedback from that side of the room? Okay. Yeah. I've never been on a podcast.
You're very good, honey. You're doing great. You're natural. It's just a conversation.
I'm making a lot of eye contact, and it's not something normal for me.
I know.
I like to look down.
Yeah, I really enjoy that you're
like, we're having a real conversation with mics for the first time.
I mean, I really enjoy how much eye contact you're giving me because you don't normally look in my eyes when you talk or when I talk. She's always looking all around.
I don't know what's happening right now. All right.
I'm telling you that we're making eye contact.
Cool. Great, great, great.
Oh, we're already back in, honey.
No, we're not.
Yeah,
no,
we are.
It's not back in.
That's how podcasts work, baby. Welcome back.
No. I'm ready. Restart.
Okay. Welcome back again. You know?
So back.
What
do I say?
I don't know, but I'm really enjoying the eye contact.
I can't stop looking away now.
That's fine. Don't ever.
I want to ask you one thing about your queer catch-all thing.
Okay.
I don't know if I fully agree with you.
Oh, wow.
And this is the first time I'm telling you that.
Yeah, it is.
But it seems more complicated than that, but I get where you're going. Yeah. I just want to provide the alternate, which is sometimes it's nice for people to have their own thing.
Labels. There's comfort in labels in that they provide community, they provide structure, yes. They help you identify the things that you're feeling.
Finding others who identify the same.
Yes, but under the umbrella of queer are the labels and the categories. It's kind of like a straight person doesn't have to say, I'm a straight cis male seeking cis female monogamist.
Right.
They just get to say one word.
Right, right, right.
Right. Whereas when you're a queer person, you have to say, oh, I'm this, blah, blah, blah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I'm not saying that those things don't exist or how you want to define yourself doesn't exist. I'm just saying in the common vernacular of language, I feel like it provides us with more, I don't know, less segregation within our own community.
Yeah. I think the people that want to be more specific and identify, that's cool. But they're also, yeah, I agree, there should be the option where, even if you don't really know, because it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it is. It's very confusing. Were you confused with your sexuality, you know?
Just got so sweaty. It's usually not a good person that asks you that question.
What? Not a good person?
No, I'm saying, like, as a child, like, someone asks you, are you confused by your sexuality?
As a child?
I don't know. Who normally asks that question?
I'm asking you as an adult to another adult.
Yeah.
Since you've agreed to express your journey, that's why I'm asking you. We really did throw you into this because Hannah's in the hospital.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So remember.
Okay. Let's start again.
I want you to remember all, you know, since you are openly bi. People have been able to ask to talk to you about your experience. All people want to know is the benefit of understanding another person's experience.
Right.
Yeah. And this is Hanalyze This. This is a safe space. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I know.
And suffer the consequences.
I mean, I'm pretty open about everything.
Okay.
I've been really open online and with everyone about things, so I'm not concerned about that.
Great. So back to my questions. Question number one. Elamine Lozhenko, when did you first, I don't know, was there a moment you were like, oh my God, I'm bi?
It's really, really interesting because it's very difficult for me to pinpoint an exact moment. Growing up, I really didn't understand, A, the complexities of sexuality. I mean, I was a child, so, I mean, cut me some slack. But also, I didn't have really much interface with anyone in the LGBT community. I didn't understand that there were more things you could be than being just a gay man. That was kind of that's what I thought of as gay. Gay men. Gay men. Yeah. That's the only...
Lesbian? Like...
No, not even really. I didn't, especially in media, you really, you know, for a long time only saw, like, the gay male character in sitcoms or whatever, and those tropes were really the only exposure I had. So when I thought about gayness and the LGBT community, that's what came to mind.
Mm.
And so immediately, obviously, identifying as a woman, cis woman, I just didn't think I fit into that category.
Of gay man.
Yes.
But
I looked and I checked that one off the list and said, okay.
Yeah.
So because
sometimes I think I'm a gay man. I'm not going to lie.
I oftentimes wish I was.
Yeah, same.
Double the salary.
Yeah.
Not that 70. What is it? 76%?
70 cents to the dollar.
70 cents. Yeah, exactly.
I want that dollar.
I want the full dollar.
Yeah, you do.
I didn't have a lot of exposure to the LGBT community, and I didn't know that there was even a place for people who had, you know, just attractions to multiple genders. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand that. I didn't know about that at all. So growing up, there wasn't kind of a light bulb signal. Because I felt like I didn't fit into that category, I immediately took it off the table and just assumed I was straight.
Right. Did the social norm. So when was the first time that you heard the term bisexual?
Honestly, I'm trying to think. I think it must have been at the end of high school or nearing 11th or 12th grade.
Wow.
So a lot of my younger kind of like sexual awakening, I put myself in the box of being a cis woman attracted to cis men, because being bisexual, you do have attractions to men and the opposite gender. So I felt that attraction. So that's what I assumed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, wow, senior year till the end of high school that you really heard about. But you also went to a really small school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were some signs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say there weren't any signs.
Oh, signs like what?
There were some signs. So I did, you know, try to kiss my friends. yeah, there's that. We were just having fun, though.
Yeah.
We were just being gal pals. You know, like, let's try it out. Let's practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that did happen. But again, I want to preface this all by saying I grew up in Los Angeles in a very liberal community. I went to an art school. So
in that environment, which is so shocking, really process, like, really sit with that for a second.
Yeah.
Like, in a open and accepting liberal environment in a liberal state at an arts K through 12 school.
Yeah.
Even there, that it's so deeply ingrained in us by society, that the sense of otherness.
Yes.
Even then, it's something that's hard to accept. So for those of you that are out there listening and you live in a space, a city, a state, a household any less inclusive than that, don't beat yourself up. It's tough. It's tough if you have everything going for you and pointing in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting to think back that even in my liberal bubble, I didn't have any friends that were gay growing up.
Well, that were out.
That were out.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Okay, so when did you first identify as bisexual then?
So I went to college, obviously,
Yeah, wow, back. Obviously?
Yeah.
Because of really your just smart. Amazing vocabulary.
Yeah, I'm a genius. So there's that you should know about.
You're funny. What's this? Eye contact, making jokes. Well, how come I only get the sweaty, nervous Ella?
I'm a professional, Hannah.
Are you acting?
Now?
Right now?
I don't know. Am I? So after high school, I had heard about bisexuality. I had kind of opened my eyes to the LGBT community a little bit. I went to Emerson College, okay?
Okay.
So Emerson College is a small, private, I think they call themselves a communications school, meaning that, you know, many of the majors there are like a communication arts, so film, theater,
they have a degree
marketing.
In comedy now, I heard.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
They do, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you get a bachelor's in comedy.
Wow.
Yeah, I won't be laughing when you're paying off your student loans. You think, wow, this comedy degree really didn't take me as far as I thought.
You sound like someone's, like, 60-year-old dad. Dad, I want to be a comedian. Okay, anyways.
I frowned in response to that.
I went to Emerson, and I don't know if this is PC or not, so I'm just going to throw this out there, and then y'all can drag me on Twitter. But a thing that people said at Emerson College was that everyone will be gay by May. That was just a thing that people said.
Gay by May?
Gay by May. Emerson College, you're gay by May.
Oh, my God.
So it kind of, like, really opened my eyes to it. Obviously, having Emerson is, I think, more known for their theater and musical theater programs.
Yeah.
So then it was, like, not knowing anyone in the LGBT community, bam, smack into a liberal arts college where everyone was gay.
Wow. But that's still the binary, though. That's still one or the other, straight or gay, right?
Yeah.
We had a similar phrase at Cal that was, I forget how it went, but it was basically like gay until graduation. And it was something like that.
That's worse.
Right. But But I think that these kind of like college lesbian experiment phases, et cetera, all this terminology that you hear affiliated with that time in your life completely erases the possibility of bisexuality. Maybe you dated a girl in college because you liked her, and then you met someone else that you also liked, and like whatever. You know, it gay until May erases bisexuality, or gay by May erases bisexuality as well.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
It's sort of like you don't even have the option. You don't. It's not talked about. It's in the same way.
So then what caused you to reflect on your own sexuality? What made you be like,
Yes. So part of what I struggled with a lot was that I wasn't sure if I was... I knew I was attracted to men. That's fine.
Checkaroni.
Check mark box.
Yeah.
But I was also attracted to women, and part of what... I didn't understand.
I was going to say, after your check mark box thing, there you go. But what about the box itself?
What about the box?
Was it just the
need to
check?
Anyways, so silly.
Same. Sorry. I'm grieving. No, I'm not grieving.
So let me just bring it back to my really brilliant point.
I'm ready.
I struggled with understanding if I felt attracted to women because the way society operates, they over-sexualize women.
Yes.
So looking at, like, movies or magazines or anything in pop culture...
Porn.
that's definitely curated to a certain demo.
A certain gaze.
But I wasn't sure if it was... just the marketing that was working on me. I was like, oh, well, obviously she's sexy because she's supposed to be.
Because that's, women are sexy.
That's what they're supposed to be.
You know, what's so funny is that when I first was talking with my older sister about one of her friends had told her that she thought she was bisexual, and we grew up, like, very homophobic, not accepting gayness isn't cool, et cetera. And my sister, I remember her telling her friend in high school that everyone feels attraction to women because we're all told to be attracted to women because women are based on their attractiveness.
That's what your sister said to your friend.
That's what my sister said to her bi friend.
Right. And I think that's something that that's exactly what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I was like, well, I mean, society might just be pointing me.
Yeah.
I
just think it's so fascinating because only right now with you and only at that time with Naomi had I heard that. And by the way, since then, Naomi's obviously expanded her worldview and viewpoint, as we all have. And, you know, we've all come a long way. But
yeah.
I think that might be something that people use a lot to get themselves back to the quote-unquote norm.
Right. So I struggled with that. But honestly, because I grew up in such a liberal bubble, and because I grew up with very accepting friends and at an accepting college and overall in an accepting community, it wasn't something that, like, I struggled with or felt a lot of guilt over or worried about. I was just kind of this, like, I wonder.
Mm.
So it wasn't something I felt a lot of pressure either to figure out.
Mm.
I kind of just thought that through life, this might be something that I would understand more. And I didn't feel that I needed necessarily to figure it out right away.
Right. Did you tell anyone? Did you feel the need to tell
anyone? Yeah. So my friends and I, my high school friends especially, are pretty open about a lot of things. And we talked about it. I remember I was at dinner with two of my friends.
And this is during, where are we in time?
This might be freshman year of college.
Okay.
So I was at dinner with my friends, and I brought up what I was wondering about this society, you know, feeling attracted to women, if what they thought about it, if they had ever had these thoughts before. And we kind of just talked about it openly, and it wasn't very conclusive, but I felt happy that I was able to share at least what I was thinking. And they weren't able to provide me with any answers or say that they agreed or disagreed. They didn't know themselves. And that was interesting. So
I think that that's a really good environment to have that conversation in, because it sucks when, like, you and your friends are at different points in your social views. I remember being really chastised for not understanding bisexuality, and it made me feel farther away from the LGBT community.
Yeah.
You know? And that sucked. You know? I remember one of my best friends in middle school, her older sister had a friend who was bi. Because guess what, guys? Everybody is just here to be alive for a minute. So, like, everyone can do and be whoever they are. Doesn't matter to me. But anyway, so at the time, she had told me the story about, I forget what the woman's name was. I think it was, like, Yuri or something like that. And she's like, yeah, so my sister's friend Yuri's bi or bisexual. And da da, and I made a face, like a ew face, mm-hmm. right? I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, basically a Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. And I was like, berated by my best friend being like, why'd you make that face? What do you think it's like? Blah, blah, blah. Like, really came at me. And then, like, our little mini friend group was like, yeah, Hannah. Like, and I was like, whoa, I'm sorry. I'm the only one here apparently who is not advanced, like, enough to understand this conversation, you know? And I think that's something to be really mindful of and conscious of when you're having these kind of conversations. If someone has a reaction that's negative or something that, you know, it's that you can't fight fire with fire.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like it's so much better to ask somebody, to ask them in a gentle way the reasoning behind their thoughts. You know?
Right.
It's like, well, why, what about it makes you uncomfortable? And it's like, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. You know, as opposed to being like, wow, you're wrong for feeling that way.
You know, and I think it's one of the things that liberals get really wrong. Is we come after people who are generally more interested in trying to understand, but we come at them as if we're very disappointed and ashamed, which is, it's hard.
Is there room amongst the woke for the still waking?
Right.
Right. Okay, so you have this conversation with your friends. You guys all kind of, you know, are like, well, yeah, we're all kind of thinking about it. By the way, a lot of Ella's friends ended up dating girls.
Yeah, so it makes sense that they didn't have any.
Makes sense that you guys were all kissing each other.
And when I brought it up, they're like, I don't really know. Instead of like, what? They were on the same page as me.
Yeah.
So throughout college, I had a boyfriend, and it was a monogamous relationship. I was very happy for a long time, and it's something that I didn't come up for many years later. It only really came to the point when I was graduating college, gonna start living my life in the world, that not knowing how I felt about my sexuality, that then started to bother me. Because I didn't like that there was this big aspect of myself that I just didn't know for sure. So
specifically, if you could put that thought into like a funny phrase that I've heard you say before.
What?
Can I? Okay, I'm just gonna say it. Great. It just made me really, this is Ella, I'm quoting her. Made me really sad to think that I could live my life without ever having had sex with a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you're in a committed relationship with your boyfriend, you're graduating college, and obviously people are like, you stay together, you get married, blah, blah, blah. So you had this thought.
I did. And I really wish I would have handled it differently now that I'm older.
Yeah.
But I did have this thought, and I tried to barter with my then boyfriend to be like, what could I try? but not, you know, break
like,
up.
I would love the stability and security of our relationship.
Yes.
But also,
can I just figure this thing out real quick?
Yeah.
And he said no.
Yeah. But, you know, for some people, that might have worked. For others, might not. But in this scenario, it wasn't both of your needs.
Yeah.
That side was a gong.
It wasn't both of our needs. And also, I think that's a pretty unfair thing to ask of someone
yes.
that you've been in a relationship with for 5 years.
Okay. Ella has very much made it clear that she loves monogamy. As do
no,
I.
No,
I love it too. What?
I'm talking about. Oh, God, you backed me into a corner yet again.
I love it.
I'm open to whatever. Huh? Everything's great.
No.
At Twitter.com.
So you had this conversation and it didn't go well?
I had this conversation and it didn't go well at all. And we ended up breaking up over it. No. Well, that's not fair to say. We ended up breaking up. And
years later. So at the end of college, you have this conversation. It doesn't go well.
We ended up breaking up about 6 months later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you guys had this conversation while you were still in school.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you ended up breaking up like 6 months later?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, that's a little
That's
a rough
tough
time.
Stuff. That's rough time.
Rough time.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, this has been a lot to digest. Let's take a breather for a quick second and hear from our sponsors. I wonder what their sexualities are. Today we've been talking about sexuality and how people put themselves in boxes. But hey, not all boxes are bad. And in fact, what boxes remind me of are squares. Squares, you say? Let's talk about Squarespace, because that's the sponsor for this spot. Guys, are you ready to start your own business? Make it stand out? Well, you can get started today with Squarespace. No matter what your idea is, on Squarespace you can create a beautiful website to showcase your work, blog, or publish content, or sell products, or really services of any kind. Oh my God, you could even promote your physical or online business, announce a special product or an upcoming event, like an amazing live tour, and so much more. Listen, we here at Hanalyze This are all about encouraging each other to be our best selves. So if you have an idea that you want to get off the ground but don't know how, go ahead and just get started. And sometimes getting started means making a website with Squarespace. So go ahead and go to squarespace.com/earbuds for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the special code EARBUDS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's earbuds, EARBUDS, for 10% off your first purchase. Think it, dream it, make it with Squarespace. Wow. Wow. Okay, let's go back to the show. It's about to get, like, really real. Welcome back, everyone. I always like to introduce it like it's a radio show, and it's linear, and people might just be tuning in, you know? So
you weren't just listening before. Right. We were just discussing.
That's what I like to do. I'm like, we're back in the studio with Ella Milenchenko, who is telling us very candidly about her experience with bisexuality. Ella, again, thank you so much for being here.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no. And I have to say, you sound great on the air.
Well, I would like to point out that my father is a famed radio DJ.
What?
So I think I have the radio voice.
Wait, who's your dad?
His name is Sergio Milenchenko, and he has a show called The Brazilian Hour.
Wow.
It's 40 years this
Whoa!
Year.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Sirius satellite radio.
That's great, honey. I'll get
NPR.
There. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're on iTunes and Spotify. I am fiercely competitive with every single person I meet, including your father. No, just kidding, Serge. Love ya. I do love him.
He's not listening to this.
He is not listening
I
to this.
I hope not.
I hope so. Send this to both your parents.
No.
Do you want to talk about family?
Yeah, we can. Yeah,
vaguely,
sure.
Lightly.
No, we can talk about it.
Let's talk about lightly. Okay, so we've talked about self,
right?
Right. You know, here you are having just ended your relationship with your boyfriend of however many years, 5 years or whatever.
Yeah. He ended it with me. I want to get that across.
But I would say, well, whatever. Never mind.
It takes two, right?
baby. Yeah, it does. It takes two. It takes two. It's a Seinfeld thing.
Life is long.
I'm your fiance. Life is long.
Who knows what paths take
you
and lead.
Oh.
And give.
Oh, my God. Wow. So we have the experience of self, your curiosity, you're embracing it, your understanding, discussion amongst friends, and then discussions amongst partners. And then now here you are. You are single.
Yes.
Are you ready to mingle? What do you do with this? What do you do? Are you still curious? Are you reeling? What's going on?
It took me a good year to kind of, I think, put space between the relationship. I mean, breakups are difficult, and especially one, at least for me.
Especially in those formative years.
It started when I was around 18, and we were together all through college. And I would just like to recommend to any listeners out there, stay single in college, man.
Just
do what you want.
Hey.
It's such a time.
I know.
Learning about yourself. You don't need another person. I think one of the hard things for me is that all that I had learned about myself, my body, image, sex, sexuality, was all tied to another person and how they viewed me.
Wow.
And I would have changed that.
Yeah.
At least.
I think that is a really profound consideration that not a lot of people take, you know? I can tell you that I don't have any relationships from college, but I have a lot of great friendships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that after leaving a serious relationship, you need to take time to figure out who you are exactly. And it was a perfect time for me to figure out who I was and what my sexuality meant to me.
To explore more about yourself. Because
exactly.
It doesn't ever get definitive. You're not like, this 1 year from the breakup, I now know exactly who I am in all aspects.
That's a true point.
Yes.
Yes. You're always learning.
We're always learning. So post-breakup, post-recovery, what do you do next on your journey? What's next? What happens?
So I think the only way, scientific method.
Oh, my God.
For science is you go out there, 20 over 21, baby, hit the town. WeHo, what's up?
That's the gay part of LA.
So I went and, scientifically figured out.
What do you mean by scientifically? You mean like?
Birds and the bees.
Okay, so you did a little bit experimentation.
Yeah.
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 What's the scientific method?
You have an hypothesis.
Yeah.
You test.
Yeah.
You look at your results.
Yeah.
You test again.
Oh, wow. So you went off and you tested.
Yeah. Not too much.
Your hypothesis was.
Let's be real. I'm a prude, so.
She is. She really is.
It was more just like lots of lingering dates and convo and flirting.
And sex with women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple times.
Which was enough for me to know.
Oh, I think that once you're in a heavy makeout sesh, if you're like, wow, I'm turned on by making out with this
person,
and then you're like,
that's it, really.
Yeah, but it can still be very confusing, et cetera. And then that's not even pulling into the factors of like, romantic aspects, right? Because some people are asexual but biromantic, meaning they're not interested in sexuality. They don't want to have sex, but they do find love for people.
Right.
Or vice versa, where people are bisexual but homoromantic or homosexual and whatever. Doesn't matter. It's a
so
bunch.
Many things.
There's a
so
bunch.
So many things.
Just live your life.
Yes.
Hey.
So I figured out that I was, in fact, attracted to men and women.
Wow. Wow.
And, and that's when I decided to identify as bisexual.
Cool. The decision was in the label, but not in... I just want to pause and focus on the word decided here, because... The decision is how you choose to label yourself.
Exactly.
It is not who you are.
Exactly. I chose to make this label public. I chose to be in this outward identity group.
Yeah, an accepted aspect of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But beyond the label, I don't even really know.
Okay. Well, so now that you have a term, or now that you've gone, you experimented, et cetera, let's talk about reality setting in. Because, you know, when we as an interviewer, the next part includes me.
Right.
Wow, everybody. Oh, my God, my favorite kind of part, something that includes me. I love attention. I love validation. I love praise. Okay.
You're doing so good.
Thanks, baby. Okay, so reality sets in. Now, up until this point, a couple years ago,
right,
had you talked with your family about your sexuality?
I had believed, I believed that I had in some ways. So part... It's a little more complicated, though, because part of growing up in a liberal bubble environment art school, my K through 12 only had 100 people total, right?
Total. That's insane.
Very small. It was a very open environment. I didn't feel the need to place a label on myself until after I was working. I was making new friends, having to describe who I was to other people.
Correct.
Because growing up,
everybody
all
knew.
My friends, I had known them my entire life. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to describe who I was or introduce myself in a certain way or place some type of label because everyone knew me.
Wow, that is such... You're absolutely right, because you live in the city you grew up in.
Right.
And the city that you live in is a city that all of your college friends moved to for work.
Right.
So it's all there.
Every aspect of my life is in the city that I currently live.
Wow. Yeah, because my confrontation of saying, like, I'm gay was when I moved to New York, because I was meeting people who had no idea.
You have to meet new people and tell them something about yourself.
Well, yeah, or they're like, so do you have a boyfriend? Are you seeing anybody? And you're like, oh... You know, but
right.
That is so fascinating.
So I never felt the need to place a label until I met new people because it was just kind of an unspoken, or so I thought, aspect of all of our lives that you could love whoever you loved.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
That was the basis of
everyone
everything.
Had a shared belief.
Yes. My idea of sexuality growing up was that I'm attracted to men, but everything is fine, and anyone's lifestyle is okay.
And we accept it.
Yes.
So as a household, as a family.
In my family, in my community, in my school, I didn't feel the need to make anything known because everything was already accepted.
So after you did start telling people, meaning new people,
yes,
what was the reception, I guess? From your family specifically? And had there ever been conversations, not as it applied to society, not as it applied to politics, but as it applied to you?
Conversations with my family? Not direct conversations. We didn't have any direct conversations about my sexuality.
What about when you did?
When I did have those conversations? I feel like I'm on 2020.
Yeah, I'm a great interviewer,
okay,
babe.
So,
I'm a talented host.
Right. Good job.
Thank you. And okay. And go into as little or as much detail as you want. I'd like to touch on it. We won't stay there very long.
Yeah.
But just because, you know, remember, we are in such a bubble, babe. You know, it's
right.
Really helpful to people that don't live
okay.
in.
Okay. Yeah. So being bisexual and being in a relationship with a cis male, It affords you some type of passing, right? So because I had already had this relationship, he knew my family, I didn't have to say anything because it was assumed. So I felt very uncomfortable to just make this proclamation about my sexuality with no basis of what my...
With no application. Yeah.
Like, I felt very uncomfortable to just come out while I was in a cis relationship with a man. It felt unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It felt unnecessarily stirring up trouble for my relationship, for my family. And so I didn't feel the need to come out.
Right. Let me pause here. And, you know, I want to say that it's understandable that if you're passing, you'll just stay in passing.
Right.
I have sympathy for that, you know? And and for those of you listening, the idea of not wanting to stir up trouble is that feeling is so real, but I want you to know that you're not trouble.
Right.
You know? And like, just if you're sitting here and you're listening and you're thinking like, yeah, see, because I'm the bad thing.
Right.
You're not. You're a good thing. But it's also okay to time things for when you feel like you're emotionally safe and ready to have these conversations.
Right, right. I mean, I was happy. I was in love. I was going to school. I mean, it didn't feel, I wasn't, you know, when a lot of people talk about coming out or being in the closet, it's like this overhanging fact about yourself that is so hard to
hold back. You didn't feel like you were living in secrecy.
No. I didn't feel like I was holding anything back. I felt like I was living my authentic life.
And you were.
So, yeah.
And are.
And yes. But because of that, I didn't have this pressing urge to stop the band and make a proclamation.
Right.
I just continued going forward.
So all this is to say that you hadn't had direct conversations about sexuality as it applied to yourself with your family.
Yes.
Okay. What changed that?
Well, what changed is that we began a serious relationship.
We who? What? You met someone?
Me and you.
Oh, who'd you meet? What happened?
Well, it was a warm spring night.
I hear. This is what I want you to say. And then I fell in love. I fell in love and I knew right away.
Well, that's just not true.
Oh, God damn it, Ella. Why can't you just give me what I want?
No, we began dating, and of course, I was very cautious, as I am in all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, as I said before, if we keep it in, I'm a prude.
Yes, you are.
So I wanted to play it safe, and I wanted to get to know you.
Oh, yeah, we were dating from, I think you didn't, we dated from April. Yeah, we gave it like, we became in a relationship, not just dating.
Right.
But in a relationship before we started, or you told your family. But that's
right.
Not like out of a secrecy thing. That's more like, this is how adults do it, guys.
Yeah.
You don't just bring every single person you've been out on a date with to meet your parents.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. Like, when you're in college or when you're a teenager, it's like, this is my boyfriend now. It's like, we've been dating for 2 days.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As an adult, you wait like 4 months.
Yeah, it's kind of like an ordeal.
Yeah.
To get them all together.
Yeah.
And whatever. And this, because I hadn't had any explicit conversations around my sexuality, I knew would be a surprise.
So you knew it was going to be a surprise?
Yeah, and he was going to be surprised.
Wow. I'm just saying that it's interesting because at this point in our relationship, you and I, weren't like our number ones, like in terms of closeness. Like
right.
We were in a relationship. We were in a serious relationship now, and you wanted me to meet your family, and I wanted to meet your family. But I remember that you didn't tell me anything about this experience until way later.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't. And I did that. Very specifically, actually.
So we are in a relationship. It's been 3 months. How was deciding to tell, et cetera? Go ahead.
Yeah. So when you are in love, that does feel like a pressing, like.
You have an important thing.
And it feels like you can't hold back talking about it. And my family is very important to me. We're very close. They live in Los Angeles. It would be kind of obvious if I was hiding from them because they'll be like, we'll just come find you. but I didn't think through what this conversation might be like because I had these preconceived facts about who we were.
As a family.
I thought that we were open, accepting of any lifestyle. I didn't think that this would become an issue.
And did it?
It did.
Wow.
It did. I don't know if I even told you like how I went about telling my family. Did I?
I don't. I mean, let's find out.
Did you?
I don't
know if I did. First of all, I knew that I wanted to tell them, and I wanted them to understand, and I wanted them to be happy, right? Like all the things that you would hope from your family.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't want this to be about you even though it was the reason why I felt comfortable.
Right.
Finally discussing this.
Right. It's not, that's a really important distinction, I think. It's not, I've fallen in love with Hannah.
Right.
And now I have to tell you. It's like, hey guys, this is an aspect of myself that you guys should probably know.
Yes.
Is that I'm bi.
And because I'm dating someone, now I feel the need to tell you.
Correct.
But I didn't want it to be linked to you. I didn't want them to think that you did this to me or that, you know, it was just you. I wanted them to understand fully what my sexuality was. And I also know that sometimes it can be difficult. And I didn't want that to affect our very new relationship.
You and me.
Yes.
Our very new relationship.
Yes.
So that's why you didn't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we were 3 months in. We were still getting to know each other.
That's true.
And that's your family being uncomfortable with the aspect of your life can really weigh on a relationship.
Wow.
And you can really lean on your partner in ways that can be negative.
Yeah, and or become codependent.
Exactly.
Mm.
So I was very careful to keep this to myself.
Okay, so what happened? So, I'm dying over here.
Basically, I told my mom first and my brother together.
In person?
In person. In a Fatburger.
At Fatburger?
At Fatburger. Yeah. Love them.
What happened? Tell me, set it up. Paint me a picture.
So,
babe.
It all happened around the Pulse shooting and Pride that year.
Wait, they didn't know until after Pride?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was Pulse? You're right. Wow, you're right. Because 4th of July.
Yeah. So that was in.
So you. Wow.
June, I guess.
Yeah. So this.
Yeah.
So you were discussing.
So we started dating in April.
Yeah, we did.
And I waited until June to talk to my family. The Pulse shooting happens. I make the decision to go to Pride that year, even though there are threats of active shooters. And it was important for me to kind of put my money where my mouth was. And instead of shying away from this and not feeling pretty noncommittal up until this point, I felt that it was important to be honest and to no longer have to pass. So I, after going to Pride and feeling scared and feeling sad about everything that was happening, I felt that it would be so dishonest of me to continue not telling my family.
Wow. That is really powerful, Ella.
I'm going to cry now.
Yeah.
It was a big moment.
That's a huge moment. I'm so happy to hear that.
I know, I've never told you.
I know.
Well, you never asked.
We're keeping it spicy. We never asked. You know I asked. You know I asked everything. Oh, wow. So you're at, wow. At Fatburger eating those big old wedge fries or whatever. What are their fries? Oh.
So immediately after being at Pride, I ask my mom and my brother if they want to get
grab a
burger. Grab a burger. And I told them in the Fatburger. And my brother said that his current girlfriend was also bi and like high-fived me, as bros do.
Yeah, you guys are bros.
I was like, cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was really upset. She didn't say anything and cried.
Oh, honey.
And that was okay. Because, you know, I think it's always a readjustment of thinking you know everything about someone.
Yeah.
And then not knowing something that's important to them, I think, is a little shocking always. And it's a readjustment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something that something I think about recently and I've said is that you, for as long as it took you to process,
right.
As long as it took for you to come to terms with it, for me that was 19 years, 24
right.
years, etc. We have to allow that same space for our family.
Yeah. It took me my whole life up until that point to really understand that this was something that I felt ready to share.
And there's progress made. Is it perfect?
Right. No.
No. How would you say your mom's reaction then? I mean, now we're engaged. And by the way, Ella's mom loves me. We get along great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it was a big learning curve. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And it was something that I was glad that I didn't bring you into, because it felt a very personal thing with my family and who we are. I'm Latin American. My mom's Mexican American. She grew up in LA, Catholic. You know, there's a lot there, and there's a lot of room to process these things.
Yeah. And initially, I think you guys didn't speak for a minute.
Yes. I'm cold-hearted. And so the way I did it wasn't very gentle. Like, it was gentle until it wasn't, because I didn't talk about it, and then I just ripped off the Band-Aid and said, this is what I'm doing, this is who I am. You can either get on the train or get off the train.
You are your mother's daughter.
So, so yeah, that was that. And it took them a little bit. I mean, honestly, not too long, if you really think about it in the grand scheme of life. But it took a few months.
Yeah.
For her to kind of come to terms with it.
And things will come. You know, I think that, like, you know, and obviously, thank you for being so candid and so open. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I think that in life, you know, it's not like it's ideal now.
No.
But it's progress.
It's not ideal, but I'm able to live with it.
Yeah.
I'm able to share a meal, hang out, and celebrate our engagement and be okay with the fact that it's not fully okay.
Yeah. Right now. Incremental, you know,
right.
And sometimes that's where things are.
Right.
You know?
I was really surprised, though, I'll say, because of growing up. I think it was a huge adjustment for me to understand that these things that I held to be the truth were not the truth.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between tolerance and acceptance.
Exactly. It's okay to tolerate it in your community, but then when it's in your family, it's another story.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard for me to understand, because I had been taught
tolerance was acceptance
that I really, really held to, and that was not what was reflected back at me.
Mm.
And that was the hardest thing, I think. I was very shaken and shocked that I was the story that you read.
Mm.
That all the horrible things that you hear about happening to people and being said to people being said to me.
Things like what?
Do you want me? I don't think I need to repeat it on the air.
Okay. But you can imagine
from
coming out stories.
I'm sure you can imagine from coming out stories, parents saying hurtful and horrible things. I was always horrified by those stories, and I never thought it would be me in that situation.
Wow. Well, thank you for being so brave. Not just now, but also then, you know, and thank you for protecting me from that.
Yeah.
Because especially given who I am /was, I would have really absorbed all of it and tried to, you made the right choice in those moments, you know?
Yeah.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Yay! I'm so glad we're in love.
Oh. I know, that's the silver lining, right?
That's the silver lining.
Imagine if I...
Imagine if it hadn't worked out. No, it would have been good anyway, because there would have been somebody. Yeah. I just can't imagine. Like, imagine if we hadn't worked out and then you found, you know, let's say you found a guy or a trans person or whoever. Like, I don't even know. Like, it just goes on and on and on. It's like, we just got to accept that people love who they love.
Yes.
That's it.
I think you just have to be there for your children. Because I don't think you can understand that it's hard for parents. But it's also, it's hard to swallow when you just don't feel understood.
Yeah. Be there for your children. Something I wish that, it seems like such a basic term, but it seems to be something that people really struggle with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, hug your parents, hug your kids, hug your partners, hug yourselves. I would like to say an extremely special thank you. I think that this is going to be something that people really benefit from hearing.
Yeah, and I hope so.
I really appreciate you putting yourself out there like this, babe. I really, really do. Okay, guys. Well, that's it for us. I'm going to wrap this podcast up so that I can hug and kiss my lady. If you guys, oh, God, then just check on Hannah. We're just going, after this, we're going back to the hospital. Maybe we'll go look at the ocean for a second. Thank you so much for being here for this episode of Hanalyze This. If you have enjoyed this podcast, if you believe in this podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Twitter, hang out with us on Reddit. We've got a lot of really awesome people having great conversations on Reddit, including trying to figure out carpools to the San Diego show. So go ahead and check that out. That's us at Hanalyze This. I'm so proud and so happy to have this little earbud community and to have the community that we have in our lives. And that's going to be it for me, guys. Check out HanalyzeThisLive.com if you live in San Francisco or San Diego. All right. Well, goodbye for now. You know, and usually we end
the episode. Do I need to say something?
I don't know. Usually we end the episode on a big uproarious Hannah Gelb laugh.
Oh.
But that's just not the way it's going
to
be.
I wasn't sure if I also needed to say goodbye. I don't feel the need to say goodbye.
You can say goodbye, just in case.
I'll say ciao.
Beautiful.